are listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. What up, everybody? It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Thank y'all for tuning in to the show. Happy Sunday. Let's get into it. So I've kind of been surfing the web and just kind of seeing different parts of our country that has really been engulfed in the opiate crisis, with number of homelessness going up, numbers of overdoses going up, just communities are just getting ran down with just drugs. Drugs are just kind of just taking over. You're seeing people hanging out on the streets, camping on the streets, and just really, it's just really just tearing up the communities. You know, every city has a part of town that's kind of getting engulfed like this. Being from Phoenix, we have an area in our downtown district that is referenced as the zone. It's right next to one of our big homeless shelters called Cass. And it's like a mini Skid Row, and everything is, but it's not just staying within that area, which in itself is a problem, because that just means all these folks that are just camping in the communities, there's just no, they're not getting help. They're just staying in the community. They're just staying right there where they're at. You know, all the drugs are getting delivered right there in that area, getting pumped out. And, you know, then any resources they do need, they go into Cass to get it. Which is not a problem, because that's where the resources should be at. The problem is just that there's just a lot of people that are just going, not getting the help that they truly need. And so, you know, that's a problem in itself, because that's if these people don't start getting the help that they need, then they'll never get the help. And then their mental health will just get worse and worse as their drug use gets worse. And you know, they need that help. They need that support in the streets. We just started our outreach efforts back up. Right now I'm going once a week into the community, trying to get people into treatment, get people in the, out off the streets any which way possible, because I see it. I see this, this trend, just getting out of control. And with, you know, to me it's a systematic issue that's created way, way, way above our local government. And you know, as long as those borders stay open, the amount of drugs that's pumping across is just going to be astronomers. It's going to be crazy amount, just because we're not, you know, we're catching some, they're catching a whole lot actually, but they're not catching everything. And so when you have all these gaps that are, you know, the length of the border just open, you know, they're catching millions of pills. So that's just what they're catching. The millions that are they're not catching is what's continuously pumping through. And so when you take border patrol agents out from being able to patrol these areas, now having to worry about the undocumented folks that are coming across, and now they're strained out on paperwork, there's nobody out there to patrol those areas that have those gaps that is allowing the drugs just to keep and continuously come across. And so that's how it gets into our communities. Because now it's in our country, and, you know, as Arizona being a border state, you know, it's going to hit our community first. And so, you know, over the last couple of years, I really noticed, you can just see it. You can see it everywhere you go in Phoenix now. Any QT, any Circle K you stop at, don't matter what side of town, you're going to see people out there struggling, people out there suffering from these addictions, whether it's meth or opiates. You know, just kind of working in the field, and you know, sometimes I ask my clients, like, how much are you spending on some of these pills? I mean, they're getting it for as cheap as $2 a pill right now. And so, you know, they got $40. That's 20 pills. 20 pills, they can make stretch out a day, or they can make it stretch out, you know, a week. Kind of depends on where their use is at. But it's, you know, it's an uphill battle. It's like, this is right now, to me, worse than what's going on in Ukraine for our country. You know, this is worse than things that are going on in Canada and other parts of the world right now. Like, we, this is where the U.S. got to take care of the United States. And so, you know, kind of just been on YouTube, and I noticed, I came across the video where Trump just spoke at CPAC like 2 days ago. And so I always tune into what Trump has to say, because I think he speaks a lot of truth about some of the stuff that's going on. And a lot of our mainstream media and our federal government is not taking control of these issues right now. They're not putting the dollars where they need to go. They are pumping money into this issue, but it's more to enable the addiction rather than to help cure these folks. And, you know, they're not doing anything to keep the drugs off the streets. So it kind of reminds me of the crack era, where they brought the crack into the communities to get the people hooked. And then, you know, you just let the crack kill the community, so that people are finding themselves having to be stuck needing the government. And these addictions, man, they ruin, like I always say, they ruin families. They ruin generations of families. Like, there's still families that are highly affected by the crack pandemic that happened, you know, back in the early 80s. That shit's going on still. Those folks, some of those folks never recovered. Some of those families never recovered, and it's generational. Same thing with the fentanyl right now. It's, you know, I'm seeing families that have the great grandparents who were addicted to heroin. Now their youngest grandchilds or grandchildren are addicted to fentanyl. And so, you know, my goal is to help work with those families to break that generational curse, because it's just so bad. And then, you know, there's a lot of aspects that kind of go into the problem in the United States. But anyways, let's get back to real quick. I wanted to jump back to what Trump was saying. So Trump did speak about all the fentanyl coming across the border. He did speak about bail reform and how a lot of these Democratic-run states are doing a lot of catch and release, where they're letting criminals, you know, that are getting caught, they're putting them right back in the community right away. And, you know, one thing he mentioned is he asked the president of China and the president of some of these other countries that have a zero tolerance on drug use. I think Russia might have been one of them. You know, as we see Brittany Griner right now stuck in a prison in Moscow over cannabis oil. But anyways, he asked the presidents of these countries, and, you know, why don't you have this drug problem? And they said, because we just don't tolerate it. We give drug dealers, you know, in our countries, you know, we pretty much execute them. And I think that's very, very, you know, it's inhumane, but, you know, it's working in their community. And so what I feel is, like, there should be higher penalties on fentanyl dealers. I mean, I think, honestly, I think minimum 15 years, minimum. If you're caught with maybe 20, if you're caught with trying to, I mean, I think there should be an investigation on everyone that's a drug dealer that gets caught. And if they, you know, maybe 15 years for each person that's overdosed on one of their pills, maybe 15 years for, you know, each 100 pills that have been distributed through that to that person. Like, I think that's the way. I think that's one aspect of the problem in the United States. The other problem that I've mentioned, and if you listen, if you follow this podcast, you've heard this before, but is mandatory treatment. To me, mandatory treatment would have to be key if we plan on a solution, a right now solution to start working on this problem. And I think if you have anybody in your family that's dealing with addiction, I'm sure you'll agree with this. Because that's the thing about treatment, is you can't mandatory make anybody go into treatment. And so from just when I go out and do outreach, I might talk to, if I'm out there for a couple hours, I might talk to 15, 20 people and sometimes walk away with nobody going into treatment. Usually I'm able to get at least one, but on the, you know, the last three efforts I went out, I've only gotten one person into treatment. And, you know, it's like, to me, it's almost like teaching a kid, a baby to, it's almost like teaching a kid potty train a kid. You know, you got to introduce it and, you know, slowly keep introducing it and the idea of treatment before somebody might say, you know what, I'm going to take you on. Let's do it. I'm ready. I'll go. And so, you know, that's kind of, I have to hit the same spots when I go do outreach just to kind of let the community know, like, we're here for that support. But for majority of folks, they just, nah, we're good. I'm good. And so that's going to be the answer that, you know, if the local government is funding everything for them, they're able to have phones. They're able to have, a lot of them are able to get money coming in from the government. And so when you have everything given to you and your mental health ain't all checked out, right? Because you're destroying that with the opiate use and with the drug use. And so, you know, life actually sounds okay when you're in those streets like that. You got a tat, you know, you got a couple friends around, you know, there's a couple shady characters here and there bringing you different drugs, and the cops ain't really fucking with you, then life is okay. You got a phone that you can get, and I'm not bashing the free phones, because I help a lot of folks get those free phones because they need them. They really do need them. But like, let's use those resources in a better way. And what's a better way than to get that person in the treatment, put them in treatment for 90 days. When they get out, you give them a phone, you help them get a job, you help them get into sober living or some kind of program to get them back into society, you know, and try to maintain a sober lifestyle. And if they don't and they fall right back into the streets, then hey, we'll catch them again and we'll get them back in there for another 90 days the next time. And so there needs to be some kind of revolving door where these folks are going into treatment rather than just going right back onto the streets. And so, you know, that's a big part of the reason why I follow Trump and I believe in some of the things he says, because those things that are important to him and that he feels is important to Americans, and me living in America and living in Arizona and living in Phoenix, like, that shit's important to me too, because I've seen great areas just get sucked in and ran out and, you know, just spit right back out, and it's turning into the slums. And I don't give a fuck about like property value and shit, but I give a fuck about like our community. I care about like the people that are in our community, my kids, that's going to be an area where my kids are going to have to travel through. And, you know, it's right across the one of my favorite malls that, you know, the area that I like, that I see are seeing getting ran down. Or it's in my backyard, you know, where I used to live at, or where I currently live at, or where I have family at. And so we never want the drugs to run our city, because, you know, it's just so much already going on in our world that just living a normal lifestyle is hard. And so kind of to now backtrack when I was talking about earlier was, what are all the aspects that kind of feed into the drug culture to make, you know, to make the drug culture cool? Rappers. We got a lot of rappers out there that, you know, a couple years ago it was like the Scissors and the Lean, and a lot of kids took to that lifestyle. Now it's pop a pill, let's pop a pill, you know. Now that's the new thing, and so all the new generation rappers that are coming out, you know, a lot of them are coming in with an addiction, and so that's what they rap about. And so, you know, the Futures, the, you know, I've heard Drake talk about popping a pill, Rick Ross, and even some of our favorite rappers now, like, and so by glorifying that, these young kids, 14, 13, see that, and when they're given that opportunity to pop a pill, they don't even give a fuck what it is. They don't even care if it's deadly, if it's gonna take their life from them right then and there. They're living in the moment, and so they try it because that's what their favorite rappers talk about, and that's what their friends kind of got engulfed into that society with, and you know, they're bringing their other friends along with them. And so it's really sad when you see a kid try a drug for the first time, and then that's the last time that their parents get to see them, you know, that morning or that day, or, and you know, their loved one, their kids go out and try one of these new drugs, and they don't come back home to their mom, they don't come back home to their siblings, they don't come back home to their wives or their girlfriends or their families. You know, I had a friend who we were working. You know, we were working in the same field of the behavior health and addiction. He did something a little bit different. He was more on the transportation side, helping folks get their rides. And so he was working out of our clinics. And I don't know if he fell in love with a client or what happened, but he somehow got caught up with that lifestyle and ended up overdosing and passing away. You know, young man, you know, 34, 35. And so it's just one of those things that, you know, happens. So, you know, but we can control it, you know. And so, you know, the rap music, that's one aspect. You know, our government letting everybody come across the border and letting these drugs come across the border and just really having no control of the border, you know, that's allowing a lot of the drugs to get into the community. Then you got all these dope dealers who rather slang dope than to, you know, better their lives. And so, you know, they're doing what a lot of them are used to doing, you know. And so It's in our communities, it's in our kids' schools, it's there. And then you got, you know, just life being as hard as it is, that's how a lot of people turn to the drugs themselves, you know. And so it's just having a good idea on how to start controlling this situation. I think it's going to start with voting some of these far left folks out of office is going to be the start. That way, you know, a lot of these communities have spoken up. This is the problem in our community. This is the problem. We're worried about this. We're not worried about some of the things we're seeing on TV, like Ukraine. And, you know, that's important to the world news, but we gotta focus on what's important to us right now in these times, before one of our kids gets a hold of these drugs or gets put in a position where they have an opportunity to pop one of these pills. And, you know, that's more important to us. How are we going to feed our families? How are we going to, you know, I don't want to have to work two jobs where just to get by and take that time away from me giving that knowledge to my kids because I have to be at work, you know. And that's how a lot of houses are. A lot of homes are like that, you know, where they got one parent in the home and that parent has to work two jobs, especially in these times. If you're a single parent, like, you have to work two jobs right now, or you can't put food on the table for your kids. And so that's where I'm kind of at with this right now. It's just, you know, getting these folks out of office that don't have our best interests in our communities. They say they do. They talk that talk, but then when it really comes down to, you know, where are you guys at? I've been to a lot of events, you know, community partner events, in our field. I never see local government out there. I haven't seen them out there. Maybe at one event I seen somebody who was running. But a lot of these events, I don't see them out there. I don't see them doing anything, talking about anything. And so it's usually the behavioral health clinics and facilities going and reaching out to them for help because they're not really, like, putting that work in like that. And so, you know, that's one way where they help. You know, me trying to grow my brand and grow what I do to get more people aware and on board for helping out with outreach so that we can be more impactful in our communities. Another big thing is getting into our schools and reteaching our kids, like, sorry guys, to say no to these drugs, to educate them on that. You know, a long time ago, there was the DARE program when I was going to school. I didn't think it was that impactful, but I don't think the message was strong enough. And so, you know, when I was in high school, they used to go in there and talk about STDs and what not to do and make sure you're strapping up and having safe sex. They need to put that same effort into that, into educating our young kids on these drugs and how deadly they are. And showing some of the faces of these kids who have tried it one time and passed away. And hearing those mothers' testimonies and talking about the type of treatments that are out there. I think that's super important for our schools. And starting all the way from elementary to high school. Because believe it or not, there's kids that are in elementary that are popping these pills. And, you know, we got to start fighting this battle from within before it's too late. Like I said, with the crack era, there's still a lot of families that haven't recovered from that. So when little Johnny sees his mom and dad smoking a pill, and seeing grandpa and grandma smoke a pill, and seeing cousins smoke a pill, that's just normal. That's normalized to that kid, and that kid, little Johnny, is gonna go over there and smoke a pill too, because he saw everybody else smoking a pill. And so that's another aspect to the problem. And a lot of the time is because people are going, not getting into treatment, and never controlling or fixing or correcting the addiction. What up, crew? Just wanted to drop in real quick and let y'all know about the YouTube channel. If y'all ain't checked out the YouTube channel, check out our YouTube channel, Nasty Backpack. That's where you see a lot of our outreach efforts. This podcast gets uploaded to there, and just some of the things that we're doing in the community to help improve what's going on out there. So if you ain't checked out the YouTube channel, go check it out. Subscribe, ring the bell, get the updates. It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Let's get back to the show. And it just goes from generation to generation to generation to generation. And that's why you see a lot of our young kids. That's another reason why some of our young kids are hooked on these drugs at 16, 15. And so we got to kind of, like I said, we got to start battling this beast from within. And it starts in our community. Starts in our community, starts with our voices. And that's the main purpose that I started these podcasting, is just to really just show, like, we have a problem on our hands, folks. And it's a problem that kind of goes undetected. There's not a lot of news-wise, there's not a lot of news that's on it, except for when they catch one of these big busts that comes across Arizona. You know, but there's never no news on how to fix the solution. You know, we keep popping up hotels and things like that, but where is the support to help facilitate these facilities and really get a good grasp on helping people go in and come out successfully discharged in those programs where they can go back in the community and serve a purpose? A lot of times they just go through a revolving door where they go in, they get some of the services they need right then and there, and then they're right back spit out to the streets to try to figure it out again. And so that's just where I'm at with that. You know, we gotta work as a community, and we gotta help save our streets. We gotta help save our communities. We gotta help save our nation. And they don't matter. Honestly, if you're Democrat, Republican, Black, White, it doesn't matter. This disease will take anybody and everybody that will allow them to get taken. And so you guys heard me before on this. Like, you have to really put the effort in. You know, if you're going to be successful at overcoming this problem, it's going to start with multiple layers of treatment, because you gotta the same way your brain is tricked to thinking that you need to use and thinking that you have to, you know, get your dopamine from this pill, which at the moment you have to do that when you get addicted. It's the same way you have to put layers of treatment in place for you to be able to overcome this, your addiction. One thing that, like, my plan that I try to put on everybody that I know is struggling to a sense where they have lost everything and they hit ground zero, is get on mat services, get on whatever's going to work for you, whatever mat services works for you, whether it's Suboxone, Subutex, Methadone, Vivitrol, whatever mat service that you need to get on. Get on it, get stable on it, and then start working towards detox and treatment centers, inpatient, residential, where you're able to get multiple layers of counseling, multiple layers of groups, multiple layers of NA and AA and different programs to work where you're starting to get some sober time. And you got a nice community around you to help support you, getting your sponsor and kind of just battling through everything and working through your problems. And, you know, that's important to get into recovery. It's important to have to go through all that. But, you know, I saw my sister go through it. I saw her go through it. She never got to the homeless level, but she was definitely using. She was definitely popping them pills, and she definitely was battling with that addiction. It took her marriage away, took her dogs away, the things that she loved. It took her career away at the moment. It took her life away, where she, you know, was just barely just getting by. And she had to put everything on hold in her life. She got on mat services with Suboxone. She got on some of the behavior health medicines that she needed to get on. And she went into treatment. She did a bunch of different programs, residential, inpatient. She tried this one, tried that one, detox, overdose. Like, she had to go through those battles and she came up on top. And now she's off of all her medications. She's off of the Suboxone. She's sober. She's back working in her career. And she's putting her life back together. And that's what it took for her to do. And that's what it takes for a lot of people to do it. But if people in these communities and these streets, if they're not given those options, they're never going to even know that that life is even out there. And so that's where I come in. And that's where I do my outreach at, is in those communities that are heavily affected like that. And we just try to make sense of a bad situation that's going on in our community. And so, you know, I go out there with my team. We educate folks. We try to get them in to go do an intake right now to get on MAT services. And then we provide the additional resources to get into some of those programs, those inpatient and residential and detox centers. But that's where I'm going to leave that at today. Just wanted to kind of just drop some knowledge on some things that I'm seeing out there in the YouTube world. I'll start posting these podcasts back on YouTube here shortly. I'm just getting back into it. You know, I got, like I said before, you know, I'm in the middle of, I made a switch in my current position and got a promotion. And so just getting back into these type of efforts to help better our communities now that I got a little bit more time and I found out how to use my time a little bit more wisely. And I didn't want to get too comfortable where I just forget about this world, because, you know, this is the field I'm still working in heavily. And every day I don't go out and do outreach, I miss it so much, because it's so much fun to be out there trying to help in the cause of trying to better our community. And when you do get somebody the help they need and the services that they need, like, it feels extremely, extremely good. Like, I got people that still call me today, like, man, thank you for helping me get into treatment, or thank you, or can you help get me into treatment? And, you know, every time I go on YouTube and I see one of these guys that go in the communities and they're interviewing people, and those folks, I don't ever see them. I mean, they'll follow up with the folks every now and then, but I don't see them providing them enough resources to go get in the treatment. Like, hey, let's get you, if we can get you off the streets right now and get you help right now, like, let's go do it. Let's get it done. And then they'll show us updates. And, you know, it's, I get it from a standpoint of being out there. And, but it's like, yo, give that dude some Narcan. Like, give them, you know, some things that are going to help them not overdose today. And so I would like to see those cats start partnering up with some of these community partners in the community so that they can have a little bit more of those resources available. But you got to go out there and do that work, you know, to build those relationships. And so every time I see one of those videos, I comment on there like, hey, reach out to me and I can help this person get in the treatment. But, you know, they never hit me up. I did send some Narcan prescriptions to one of them. I can't think of the name. I think it's Tells the Streets. You know, but he never really reached back out for anything more than what that was. So it was like, I, you know, I'm not that I'm salty about it or anything, or anybody has to ever reach out to me, but that's what I do to try to better help our situations out here in these communities. And so, you know, we don't want people overdosing out there. You know, that's not going to fix our problem. What we need to do is we need to start getting these people in to help, get them some Narcan, start showing, building that trust with the community, like, that's suffering with us. Hey, this is what we do. Like, we want to help you through this. We don't want to see anybody overdose out here. So, but that's all I got for you guys today. It's your boy Nasty Backpack. I'm back. If y'all want to email me, or you guys want any, go over any topics, or you got, know somebody that's needing help, you can definitely email me at nastybackpackpodcast@gmail.com. That's nastybackpackpodcast@gmail.com. It's your boy Nasty Backpack, and we out.